Coming up on Roundabout, we take a look at the clever way GM is recycling leftover Chevy Volt parts. We uncover how they actually tow cars in Mother Russia. It's not pretty. And we debate the merits of the world's ugliest Pontiac Grand Prix, if it has any. So stick around for all that and more on Roundabout. Roundabout is sponsored by Advance Auto Parts. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, to get up to $30 off your next purchase.
In Livonia, Michigan, I'm Eric Tritko from rumblestrip.net.
In the great state of New Jersey, I'm Alex Solani from GM Inside News.
Beaming down from the gleaming city of Autotropolis, I'm Charles Crome.
Staring up at the oil pan of yet another international, I'm Zach Bowman.
From the Roundabout Studios and the Autoline family of fine programs, I'm your host, Craig Cole.
What he said. Oh, and I'm producer Ben Sanders.
This is Roundabout.
Hello and welcome to Roundabout, episode number 76, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
And we are back, baby, sacrificing at the altar of the auto news another one of our Friday evenings for you, our loyal listeners. And we do appreciate you tuning in either live or downloading the show as a podcast. Thank you for that. We've got a wonderful show set up for you today. Our theme this week is one man's trash, not white trash, Ben. It's one man's trash.
We got a you implying something about my heritage?
Yes. well, no, not exactly your heritage, but.
What are you trying to say, Craig? Are you implying something about my heritage?
That is the voice, the dulcet tones of the one, the only Zach Bowman of Autoblog.com. Zach, glad to have you back.
Craig, glad to be here.
He's lying already.
I'm not lying. No lies. Right. It's good. It's good to be back.
Time heals all wounds, right? Had a little break.
Time, amnesia, blows to the head.
Lots of alcohol.
So the international then, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Also joining us on Skype right now, we have Alex Villani of GM Inside News, coming to us all the way from New Jersey, no less. Alex, thanks for joining us.
Hey, no problem. Glad to be here.
Yeah. And, of course, we have Mr. Charles Crome.
Of course.
Another Autotropolosaurus, as it were.
Glad to be here.
Quote Jeff Ross. So glad all of you guys could make it. And as I mentioned, our theme this week is one man's trash. And GM is getting pretty clever because they're taking some of their trash and turning it into something very useful for some wildlife. Now, what they've got here, I guess the batteries in the Chevy Volt are shipped with some sort of cover over top of them to protect them, you know, either from the elements or damage during shipping. And rather than throwing these things away, they've actually found a very clever use for them in that they're making, they're nests for ducks. I'm not certain what varietal of bird.
Wood duck.
Is that different from the garden variety?
Well, funny you should ask. They're one of North America's most colorful ducks.
Really?
According to Wikipedia.
Beautiful tans and taupes and browns.
You know, it's kind of a facial kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I advise everyone to Wikipedia wood duck immediately.
I shall do that right now. And somebody talk while I'm typing.
And also, there's a Harry Potter tie-in because they're doing something for the owls as well.
Well,
if they were smart in their marketing department, they would have figured out a tie-in.
They're good
marketing people are leaving.
That is quite the plumage, Charles. Not lying. What was that, Alex?
This isn't the first one. Didn't they did something with the oil bags from Katrina, then they recycled them for some of the Volt's interior parts?
Yep,
they did.
This is now recycling parts of the car. For the environment, but this is pretty cool. They're getting a lot of ecological stuff, a lot of greenwashing with the car. I just actually drove it last week, and it's a pretty impressive car.
It's a moonshot, so I've read.
I've got it in my garage right now, charging away,
sucking up the juice from the wall.
That's right, running up my electrical bill. 1 kilowatt hour at a time.
It's electric. It doesn't use gas. Oh my God, the electric bill.
It's funny, they dropped it off and it had no charge whatsoever, so I immediately had to plug it in, and I think I plugged it in at like 7 o'clock at night, and it's like, it'll be ready at 5:15 in the morning.
Well, it's a good thing you don't go anywhere,
Zach. No 220 down in the garage, huh?
I do have 220, but I don't have a... I don't have a 220 plug. Like, they just gave me the 110 plug, basically. Mm. And, like, it's not long enough to run from inside to outside, so I had to put it in the garage. And, yeah, it's a little cumbersome, I'll be honest with you. Like, yeah. The Subaru's sleeping outside. I'm not very happy about that. Just saying.
Yeah,
yeah, that the charging dock thing they give you, the whole reel, is a bit of a pain to kind of rattle back up and then lay it back out again. Because the handle is so big... You have this big kind of object to wrap this heavy orange cord around. And then you got to, again, like you have your problem. I had a problem, so I don't have a garage, but I had to find a socket that I could pull the current from. I ended up just trying to get it to work. It was a lot easier just through the back door.
And you're sticking it to the man, which is awesome.
Exactly.
The downside is you can't use the charging device that they have with an extension cord. They have specific warnings about...
bursting into flames.
Yeah.
I did it on mine, and my house didn't burn down, so good luck with it.
I was specifically warned by the fleet guys. They were like, do not underscore bold attack Alex.
I think the extension cords they're talking about are those typical like 20 gauge ones you hook mm-hmm. your lamps into, but if you get like one of the outdoor ones, which is thicker, like 8 gauge wire or something like that, you're probably okay.
Right.
I think the Volt should come with some sort of hand crank so you can charge it on the go if you needed to in an emergency situation.
Like an emergency flashlight?
Exactly.
Hook it up to your elliptical machine.
Well, it does. It has a big engine in the front, so worst case, you just let it go.
What if you're out of gas?
Then it's like every other car.
That's like any other car. You're out of gas. You're out of luck.
Yeah.
So you have to go, you have to charge it to put gas in anyway. You're still going to run into a problem.
Yeah.
True.
Well, GM doing some pretty good stuff for the environment. You know, one man's trash, in this case the battery covers for the Volt, a nice habitat for some ducks. Very colorful plumage, Charles. You were right. I looked those up on the Wikipedia. So great little feel-good story there from General Motors. Now, another man's trash, literally, is what they're doing in Russia, which, frankly, as a car enthusiast, I find pretty... horrifying, shocking.
Well, they do things differently in Russia. And this is a perfect example.
We are epic win. We do everything big.
Now, I can frankly say this isn't my little joke, but what it looks like is, if you ever wanted to play with one of those crane toys, mm-hmm. kind of, you can do it with real cars here.
Oh,
that's pretty much what's going on. They're just... scooping them up, toss them in the trash.
Yeah, we've got a video here, basically. So what's going on?
Well, exactly that. They are scooping them up and put them in the trash. I don't have the... Oh, there we go. Okay.
The downside here is that the only prize you win is a Mazda 6, which nobody really wants one of those. No, I'm kidding. Great car.
Nobody wants one because they're not buying them, but it's neither here nor there.
It's a reasonable car.
Oh, it's a good car, but nobody's buying them.
That's true.
Reasonable car, Mr. Tricka says.
I suppose it's, maybe a little bit better than the boot.
Yeah.
Just so, get the whole thing pulled away.
There is a little bit of... I don't know. This it's obviously at a factory or someplace like that. And you see a couple people with Mazda jackets walking by. So,
These
are probably engineering mules that are, with no
pre-production
VINs.
Pre-production type.
I said no VINs on a car in Russia, but that sort of goes with,
goes with the
how is that
there.
Different than any other car? That's
So basically they've got a dump truck with this awesome candy crane type or crane mounted on it.
It's a picker like you see on logging mm-hmm. trucks where they pick up the logs and put them on the flatbeds.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what that is.
And the guy just – he's sitting on the truck or on the crane basically operating it. And he's got this little like rain shield. I don't know if you guys can see it in the video. It looks like this little hood that folds up. Kind of funny. But he's literally just using the crane – going right on the roof of these couple Mazda 6s parked there and just grabbing them, putting them in the back of that dump truck.
See, now, if this was GM, of course, they wouldn't just be throwing them out in the garbage. They'd be converting them to duck shelters.
Exactly. See? So this is literally one man's trash. So
one man's trash is another man's Trash.
Trash.
Yeah. And you can tell by the way they're starting to, they start swinging around sometimes that, you know.
Yeah, that second one's a little dicey. It took him a few tries to grab that one.
Well, he took the crane, he overstuffed the crane's mouth. He wanted to take a smaller bite this time, I think.
Yeah, I think he just went to like rent to own and picked that up. And
I'm going to say he was on his second bottle of vodka for the day.
For the morning, probably. So, yeah, if you're into cars like we are, this is pretty darn cringeworthy. I mean, like you said, Eric, these have got to be scrappers anyway from some sort of engineering test or pre-production.
But wouldn't you like to think that in Russia they just, oh, you got
this is parking ticket. We don't no boot in Russia on the wheel. We pick car up. You can impound.
So, you know, yeah. if the world was perfect, all manufacturers would submit these cars for, like, an endurance series.
Oh.
You know? So, like, all the old test mules from every manufacturer, regardless of vehicle class, would be thrown into the same endurance series.
Mm-hmm.
I would absolutely pay to watch that.
That would be awesome. You know, I've always wanted to see how far a car could run on canola oil in the engine. Perfect.
Or cat litter.
You know. you could.
Another fine lubricant.
Synthetic cat litter or...
Hope that's not the voice of experience there.
No, it's not.
Well, he did get drunk that one time, and thankfully the Subaru was under warranty. Yeah. So, yeah,
please, I've never owned a vehicle under warranty. Come on, Greg Cole.
So you can check out that video on our website, roundaboutshow.com. Again, pretty darn cringe-worthy. Our next story, One Man's Trash. This is an awesome idea, Eric, but it was trashed probably due to cost or safety concerns, but brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
I think it was scrapped because of a change in government and the focus of the government.
what do you mean?
So in 1931, so this would have been the Weimar Republic era of Germany, they came up with Zeppelin, who obviously makes the Zeppelins, the big
dirigibles.
Dirigibles, yes. They came up with a design
all the
concept.
Humanity!
Yes.
That one.
Yes.
For later, Ben.
Came up with a design concept for a train engine, a locomotive,
mm-hmm.
that from a design standpoint is just absolutely stunning. This is maybe the coolest looking like aero style train I've ever seen. It sort of does have a Zeppelin look to it, but that's 30s aero, you know, and mm-hmm. it was made out of all aluminum.
Art Deco, I would say.
Yes, a very Art Deco. And it had a 46-liter BMW V12 engine in it, powering it. But the interesting thing was that it was not driven via the wheels, as mm-hmm. every other locomotive has ever been. It was driven by a propeller. And it had a top speed of 120 miles an hour.
That's blistering. 140.
Or 140. I'm sorry. Yeah, 140. Yeah, I thought they tested it to 120. It's still damn fast.
For 1931, that's nuts. That's like time travel.
Right. So
well, not really, but
close enough to it.
In 1930, it's time travel.
Certainly past
like
88
rail
miles an hour.
Travel.
Yeah.
What if we made a road?
I don't think that
rails.
I've driven on Amtrak, and I don't think I've made it 140 miles in 4 hours before.
Day?
So, yeah.
Exactly. It's funny, the first picture here, you know, you pop it up and you're like, someone has photoshopped this weird looking train into this photo from 1930.
Mm-hmm.
Because it looks so bizarre.
Yeah, it's got a gigantic two-blade propeller on the front and carved of ash wood, it said.
Yep. So this was 1931. This was at the Weimar Republic, and so the government was, the country was pretty much falling apart at that point in time.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. shortly afterwards, it was scrapped because they made it out of all aluminum, which was very valuable at the time. And it only weighed like 20 tons, which is very, very light for
only 20 tons.
If you say like the steam locomotives of time were like 100 tons.
Mm-hmm.
You just look at that thing sitting next to it and it looks heavy.
So it was trashed because they used it for parts for many other things since aluminum was so valuable.
Well, plus I would imagine there were some safety concerns, you know.
What? You don't want to, well, just a propeller spinning, you know. I mean,
I could imagine some kids getting sucked into that on the platform as the train goes to take off. It'd be horrifying.
Or some kids by the side of the train. What would happen if I just tossed a stick up there?
Yeah. Bad things. Yeah.
But I think they should revisit this idea and have that at least the design of the locomotive come back and maybe find some different propulsion method than the propeller.
Jet propulsion.
Yes. Did it have any machine guns?
Not at the time, because that would have been prohibited by the Versailles Treaty. Yeah. Yes, not that they were paying too much. Well, it was
1935.
That they stopped paying attention to that.
But. After they, like you mentioned, had a change of government two years later.
Small change in government, yes.
Yes.
A little bit.
Der Führer. But yeah, awesome find. We've got this on Wired.com, Wired magazine. Very, definitely check out these pictures, because this thing is so cool looking. So cool. And that they did it in the 30s makes it all the more impressive.
That's really the impressive part of it. It was 1931.
Absolutely. Yeah. So next up, we've got an article about, well, GM is in the news, and who better to talk about that than you, Alex? They've showed off a new pickup truck concept. I guess it was at the Bangkok Motor Show.
Yeah, back in Thailand. Thailand is the largest truck market out there. So they showed off what is traditionally, to us Americans, a mid-size pickup truck, a brand new Colorado show truck. They did some pretty cool stuff, three-dimensional gauges, a diesel engine, turbo diesel, an all-wheel drive chassis.
So obviously, this truck's never coming to America then?
It's never coming to America, yeah. It's right now, unless something really happens, but there's always a toss-up that something like that could always come here, perhaps not that specific one. Mm-hmm. Obviously not the diesel, I don't think, well, never say never, but I mean, I think that the market for mid-sized trucks, everybody's pulling out, GM, Ford, you know, I think the Dakota is pretty much...
Mm-hmm. Well, nobody buys mid-sized trucks, really.
Well, that's because they price them funny and then they never advertise the fact that they even sell them anymore. You know, it's like the Ranger sold 60,000 units a year with zero advertising, and they haven't updated it since, like, 1993. Right.
The Ranger's, like, the perfect-sized compact pickup, you know? Everybody else got bigger, and Ranger stayed the same because it stayed the same.
it hasn't changed since before I was born, yes.
Clinton was in the White House.
What was the problem with the F-10? Well, I mean, they altered some things. I mean, they've gone through, like, four or five powertrain options. But, this truck does show a lot of a future. The design you're going to start seeing from a lot of GM Chevy trucks, I should say, not GM. The Colorado, you know, there's a lot of people pushing forward to see something like this as gas mileage, as the CAFE numbers keep going up. It's always a possibility, but as of right now, they shut down Shreveport down in Louisiana, so I don't think we're going to be seeing this anytime soon until gas.
Yeah.
There was as much product going out lunchboxes of the workers at Shreveport as there were product going out the door at Shreveport.
Well, that plant was only temporarily shut down for now. It's supposed to wind up for good later in the summer. Is that right, Alex?
Yeah, it's pretty much a done deal. The Colorado Canyon crew, they're going to be out the door. And that shows a whole other thing. If they're going to shut down that plant and then let it idle, let workers idle, and then only wait, you know, another 3 or 4 years to then spool it back up again and spend another couple million dollars to get that fixed. I don't see it. If GM was totally ready to say, yeah, we're going to stay in the midsize compact truck market with this vehicle, they would keep that plant open, but they're sad to say it would not.
It's a cool truck. I like the way it looks. I actually like the interior. The 2.8 in it, and sure, it gets reasonable mileage. It would be the truck that I would be looking for to get a new truck.
You're living the dream right now, Eric.
Oh yeah.
Danger.
No, I'm saying if it you know, if you can put 1,000 pounds or something in the bed, which that'd be great, and if it can tow about 3,000-4,000 pounds, so you could tow like a small boat or a small
that's all
RV.
90% of the people
or your
need.
Dog.
Yeah. Well, it's an extended cab, so, you know, she should be able to fit in the back part of that. So perfect. Exactly.
I certainly hope this comes to North America because the design is pretty damn sexy.
It looks really
good.
It's
sharp. And
it looks, you know, it almost looks a little too soft. It's got a Malibu-esque front end. I mean,
exactly.
I think we talked to Mike Simcoe last year in Detroit, and he talked about how we just keep making the grills bigger, and people just keep buying them. Ford makes it bigger, we make it a little bit bigger, and then we add more chrome. So I think that grill is not as bold for Americans. They'd have to just really
That's an easy fix, though.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Oh, I mean, the headlights, how the headlights are and fenders and everything, I think the whole front would have, the front end would have to get really pulled out a bit more extroverted, if you will, not so...
Happy-friendly looking?
Happy-friendly, yeah.
And you also have to wonder what, you know, how they would price something like this to make sure it, you know, doesn't get too close to the Silverado.
Well, yeah. I haven't looked at GM's pricing in a little bit, but, like, looking at Ford trucks, and they say, well, you know, you could get a Ranger like this is going to be, like, $24,000, and you can get an F-150 for, like, $26,000. I'm like, no, you can't. No, you can't.
Not with any options, period.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Like, you get the lowest spec F-150 with the EcoBoost and four-wheel drive, and you cannot spend under $34,000.
Jeez.
Yep, because I seriously looked at
that. As an option up. You get, look at what Dodge is doing with the, what's the thing
Tradesman?
Called?
The Tradesman, right.
Yeah, with the Hemi, Bates Hemi. I mean, that was, what, $22,000? So there's that market that, you know, why the hell should, I mean, obviously there's way more profits than the full-size truck.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you sacrifice, as Americans, you know, Americans that think, well, why would I buy something that's smaller, get similar gas mileage, can haul less for the same price?
Well, we like things big.
Yeah.
Bigger. Now, Zach, you're a resident truck guy enthusiast. Mm-hmm. What's your take on this thing?
Yeah, I think it looks really sharp. You know, does anybody know exactly what the 2.8 is? I mean, I know it's a turbo diesel, but in terms of power or... you know, displacement or number of cylinders, anybody?
I'm sure it's a 4. I would guess a 4.
It could be their 2.8 V6. They're putting in a couple of cars in Europe.
Okay.
I don't know if it's the 4-cylinder, but I think it's 25-30 average MPG would be it to convert to American miles per gallon.
All right, so you'd probably be looking at fairly significantly less by the time you put in a legitimate all-wheel drive system and, you know, in a high riding, you know, snub-nosed truck like that. But still, I mean, that's pretty good fuel economy. You know, if it had the power, I think it would do just fine. And I think styling-wise, you know, for a lot of people, there are plenty of folks out there who are just buying a truck as an urban vehicle, as a mall attack vehicle, basically.
Yeah.
You know, or they go to the mall, they pick up, you know, whatever they need from Sears and they drive home. No, the bed, the tailgate never goes down.
Nope.
So, you know, I think I really wouldn't see an issue with the styling. I think it looks about 50
I agree with you, Zach.
Million light years ahead of what the current Colorado looks like. And, you know, I've heard whispers that GM's going to try and keep the Colorado around, and I really hope they do it. I think as fuel prices keep climbing, buyers are going to start shying away from big trucks. You know, I know they're doing better and better on fuel economy, but in real world applications, you know, you're lucky to get what the EPA is talking about in fuel economy with big trucks. So.
Yeah, Raptor 6.2 got
gallons per mile,
barely 14 on the highway and about 10 in the city.
Yeah,
and that's just not going to be acceptable as gas gets closer to $4 a gallon. You know, it's just not going to happen.
If you look at like a city type truck, I don't know if everybody saw the GMC Granite truck they showed in L.A. Well, they didn't show it in L.A. They had it over at their design studio.
Yeah, in Detroit.
They did have it in Detroit. I didn't see it. But, yeah, they had a fold-out bed, you know, had the door that came out. I mean, it was pretty novel idea. I remember talking to a couple people about it, and, you know, like, what would you see? And like someone said before, you know, tow about a thousand, haul about 1,000 pounds would be about its average, you know, will be their target for a vehicle like this, where the chassis can still take it, the engine can take it, and there's not going to be any problems. And I think that might be an option. You know, if you have a mid-sized truck like a Colorado or a Canyon or even a Ranger, price-wise, it puts it pretty close. And I think all people say, well, if I go up a little bit bigger, I can get this massive truck, where I think other people want a city truck.
Yep, exactly.
Even Colorado's still too big. So a car, a truck like a Granite is a little bit smaller and a little bit more maneuverable, even in some busy suburbs. The other thing is, I think...
Well, I hope GM brings this to the U.S. because I agree with you, Zach. I like the design, and let's not kid ourselves. The current Colorado and Canyon are not that...
I think bad is the word you're looking for.
Yes. So this could be a considerable step up, especially with a diesel engine, which we'll never get, but
hey... really, I mean, the mid-size and small truck market has been, I mean, like you guys say, just completely abandoned. Manufacturers have completely walked away from it. Yep. There hasn't been any fresh, new, genuinely innovative metal out of there in over a decade.
Zach,
easy, over a decade.
Funny you bring up abandoned and pickup trucks.
Oh, listen to that.
Oh, yeah. Practice, baby. Mm-hmm. Practice. We're at 76 episodes now. But you are an international fan, and you've got yourself a lovely little project, honey, that you're
Thanks,
working on.
Sweetheart?
No. Project
the
Honey
the
Truck.
The comma was in the wrong place there. That's the issue.
You're working on an international one, Harvester 150 truck that you've had.
That
I'm sure a rolling headache. That is not beer.
No, it's not beer. And rolling headache would imply that it would have to roll first. So let's just hang out at the headache area of that description. Believe it or not, I had to be at the airport on Tuesday. Got in the truck, fired it up, drove it to 45 minutes to the airport, and made it there no problem. So we're making slow progress. But
find about the return trip.
I say, find any more presents from Outlaw Bobby while you're driving?
Miraculously no. And it got me home. Got me home. Similarly, no problem. Almost ran over a BMW.
They had it coming.
Yeah, I was coming down the parking garage, and there's a little gate that you have to pay. You know, your obscene amount of money for parking in their shitty, I mean, not okay. and I was coming down the hill, and it stopped. You know, it just stalled, shut off. And, when the engine's dead, you don't have power brakes, you don't have power steering. So I was, standing on it as hard as I could and locked up the tires and came to a screeching stop. And the guy in the BMW looked at me like I was insane. And it was a good time.
Awesome.
Anyway.
Well, speaking of good time. You had a little rendering done of what you're dreaming of this thing to look like in, 25, 30 years from now when you have the time to finish it?
Well,
retirement, maybe?
As my good editor, John Neff, said, how does it feel to know that your truck will never look like this? Which I thought was a little cruel, but that's okay.
Wow. You mean your butternut millstone, as you called it?
That's
brilliant.
Right. Thank you. This company by the name of Autemo, or I don't know how you pronounce it.
He wrote the article, he doesn't even know how to say it.
Well, it's AUTEMO.com. What they basically do is they allow guys who want to, or girls who want to modify their vehicles to get in contact with artists who have the ability to render their modifications in Photoshop to photorealistic images of what it would look like. And they were trying to promote their business, and they contacted us, offered to do a couple of renderings for us, and John thought that the 150 would be the perfect venue to show just how talented they could be to smooth over a vehicle.
Right, very talented.
Because the F1, because the international story was like the most highly trafficked story on the auto blog in the last 18 months, right?
Yeah, it was a big one. It was pretty popular. But you talk to the guy and he says, just send me some pictures, tell me anything and everything you want done to the truck, and we'll go from there. And I'm thinking,
you emailed him a phone book, basically.
Pretty much, I basically took an afternoon, sat down and thought, okay, what would I do if I had money just bleeding out of every orifice and all the time in the world?
It sounds like a problem if you're bleeding out of every. But, sorry,
I would absolutely
we'll
take
get
it.
To
if
that story, cash. Right?
So, I started. I wanted all the bodywork smoothed out. A set of KC daylighters on the front bumper. I wanted, the emblem that I'd finally picked up on the grill. Small things like the side view mirrors. I wanted those swapped out for California style mirrors. Cab lights, a roof rack, or a bed rack, excuse me. Bed liner. I wanted the whole truck painted the Sandstorm Tam from the FJ Cruiser. About a 3-inch lift. I didn't ask for the springs, but that's okay. He's from the UK, so I'll let that slide.
You want leaf springs instead?
Yeah, you don't put coil springs on a pickup truck in the rear. That's just asking for all kinds of towing headaches and wheel hop and things like that. So anyway,
memo to Dodge.
Ram. All those guys at Dodge, man, they're going to be upset.
Well, they have all sorts of fancy engineering that's not quite like bolting on a set of coil springs to a. Here you go, Ben. Shitty fucking international pickup truck. other small details like a sliding rear glass, and you know, I was very specific. You know, I combed the internet, did Google image searches, and you know, I want these exact cab lights. I want these exact mirrors. And the guy wrote back, and he was like, "No problem." And then the next day, we had the rendering, and
talk
it just
about
looks
a turnaround.
Like a stack of cool $100 bills. They say that, you know, for an average guy to do, you know, an image like that, it's about $150.
It's not unreasonable.
Not unreasonable. And, you know, they say they have about 8 work in progress, what they call work in progress images that come along during the process that you can change. You can change anything. You know, if you don't like the color that you chose, you can change the color or any modification. And at the very end, if you don't like it, you don't have to pay for it. Wow. So it's pretty sweet.
Awesome.
I love like that bed rack thing. That is, I've never seen one of those, but that, I know it looks like you'd set up a blind to go hunting on top of it or something like that.
Well, I want something like that so I can throw up like, you know, 16 foot worth of material, you know, trim or whatever on top, and I can carry it without breaking anything. My dad has one that's custom anodized TIG welded aluminum. Ooh. And it's just beautiful, beautiful. Wow.
The one thing I've been meaning to ask, because I always forget, is it looks like there's a gas cap in front of the front door.
What is crying rust off the fender?
That's because there is. That is actually the main tank. That's the non-vented main tank, which is missing from my truck.
In a safe spot, clearly.
The other one, the filler neck, which is the auxiliary tank, which is what the truck is running off of right now. The filler neck runs in through the cab. And the tank is a sort of saddlebag tank, just like that one, outside of the frame rail. So if you get hit on the side, the tank ruptures and sprays the cab with fuel. Yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, you just try to hit anything that's going to hit you first. Yeah. So.
Well, awesome, Zach. They did quite a bang-up job on that rendering. Where can people find this story?
You can check it out at autoblog.com. You can just you can either search Autimo, or you can just autoblog.com/tag/Autimo. Yeah. And it should come up.
Turning one man's truck into a treasure. Our next article is definitely not as nice as that rendering. God, no. This is a horrible video of a...
What sadly is they spent more money on the alterations as Grand Prix than it would take to make Zach's International look as it does in that rendering.
Got a last generation Pontiac Grand Prix. It's probably not even a GTP. We'll just say it's a GT.
You should just call that a Grand Prix?
Grand Prix? No.
Grand Prix.
Grand Prix.
There we go.
And coming to us from streetfire.net, popular site for car-related videos, this thing, it's a white Grand Prix, and it has been Mario Brotherized. With all kinds of video game characters painted, custom painted onto the coachwork. Dreadful. Absolutely
what
dreadful.
What country is this from? I'm curious.
Albania.
Albania?
No, I have no idea.
Atlanta? No.
It's in Florida.
Yeah, it's in Florida. I say, yeah, coming
that
from.
That is a foreign country.
Florida, yes.
Where's Jeff Ross to defend himself now? But, so this is just basically a minute and a half long video, a little walk around this Grand Prix. And it's got all this Mario Brothers stuff painted on the body, and which is fine. I can appreciate somebody, you know, spending their time, if they're passionate, you know, getting some custom paint work done on a vehicle. I may not like the look of it, but I can appreciate the effort, time, and money they put into it. Except not this one, because
it's awful.
Yes.
I mean,
Ben,
it's not even good.
Game,
I mean,
but
I can understand being a geek and wanting to put Mario and Donkey Kong stuff on your car,
geek, yeah.
But the art isn't even good. I mean, it's...
And on the last generation Grand Prix? I mean, I didn't realize it's such a popular car for this kind of thing.
I mean, I would do this to my G8,
I just have...
Oh, my goodness.
I just have one question. What's the over-under on the money from this coming from legitimate sources?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, define legitimate.
Yeah,
that makes some good money.
It's from an entrepreneurial businessman who operates in a cash business, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Well, because they've got
I deal with those people every day.
Why doesn't it have scissor doors, though?
Yeah.
That's the one thing it's missing here.
Well, it's got the 22-inch spinner wheels that have been painted with various characters. I guess that's Diddy Kong going around right now. I didn't know Diddy Kong had Down syndrome. But,
oh, my God.
But the characters don't even look right. That's the thing that gets me, Ben.
Yeah, what's with the spots on Mario's hat, you think?
And Donkey Kong on the bump, or not Donkey, King Kong on the trunk lid. It's not. It's supposed to be Donkey
yes.
Kong.
No, yes, that's clearly King Kong, except, like, brown
well,
fur,
well, better than
right?
King Dong's.
Is that supposed to be the princess on the right rear wheel? Yikes.
Horrifying is all I can say, and if you want or to participate... in the awfulness. Ooh, look at the king
those.
Of the king of all battles on the bumper there.
Awful, awful, awful.
What battle is that?
Obviously decency, lost, I guess. I was going to say it lost the battle of taste and decency, right?
Who's
well,
the,
I know, but, the best.
What really caps it off is that the wheels stick out a solid inch and a half on the whole side. And that really caps. That's how you know that's a, that was hand-done, custom, painstaking. Just
little
stuff right there. That's just the best. That's what I love.
Classy.
That's what we call fitment in the business. Just saying.
What do you think the turning oh. radius is? Can this car even turn, or is it just locked straight ahead?
Yeah, he started on a highway in the background there. He eventually made his way back into the parking lot. He just saw a lot of cars there. He's like, maybe stop and show it off.
Every parking job takes is a 17-point turn to get it into the spot. But yeah, you guys can check this video out on our website, roundaboutshow.com. We'll have a link in the show notes. And if you've got the stomach for it, please check it out, streetfire.net. Definitely one man's trash, not a treasure. Not going to lie. Speaking of treasure, though, we've got another customized vehicle, Eric.
Yes.
This is... something very much worth riding in.
Yeah, there's two different versions here of a Sprinter van, and from day one that I saw a Sprinter van, I had been in love with these things just because, especially when you get the tall version where like you can be 6'5" and still stand up in it and not hit your head, was always cool, and they're great for hauling motorcycles and stuff like that. But two different people have decided to do, one was Mercedes and the other is Brabus, who's sort of a semi sort of official tuner of Mercedes. They've made the Sprinter vans into luxury transportation. The Brabus one, they've outfitted with, I think, every possible bit of Apple equipment that exists, including iPads and I don't know if there's an iMac, but it certainly had a laptop. But there's like several iPads in there. It had a 40-inch 3D capable Sony flat screen TV, some different setups, some cool lighting in it.
Did it have a VHS player?
No.
But it does have Betamax.
Yes.
Awesome.
It is Sony.
All our beta tapes.
Yeah, Sony. Yeah, so it is Sony. So that was, and it's pretty well tricked out. I'm sorry, this wasn't in a Sprinter van. This was in
the Viano Viagra van. Or
basically, it looks like a Chrysler Town and Country, you know, type of minivan.
Like a Euro VW Euro van type.
Yeah, exactly.
Thing, like, yeah.
So. A little bit smaller, but that was pretty cool. And then the official Mercedes one, they used the Sprinter van. And this one is basically...
awesome. It's dripping
like,
with awesomeness.
It's like, why would you ever buy a Maybach? You know? This is a Gulfstream on wheels. It has four captain's chairs that sort of face each other. And then it has a third row, which with a bench behind that. It has two... 32-inch flat-screen TVs. It has a bar. It's got all kinds of LED lighting in it. I'll channel Zach Bowman when I say this is bleeping awesome.
Thank you for.
Where's the follow through, Eric?
I said channel. I didn't say it.
Luke in the chat says, Eric, whenever I see Sprinter vans, I always think of the Dollhouse. Does that mean anything to you?
Oh, it was a Joss Whedon.
Was and it was awesome.
Oh, yeah,
Sean
yeah, yeah.
in Erie says, or John and Kate plus eight.
Oh,
so there you go.
Dollhouse, I did see a few episodes of that. John and Kate plus eight, I have no idea. I've never heard of it. So
is that Johnny Walker, Zach?
Didn't that have some kind of crazy engine in one of those two?
In the Sprinter?
In one of those, yeah. The Brabus,
yeah, the Brabus one,
one.
Yeah, the Brabus one did.
Looks like Luke is insulting Ben because he says, yay, Ben got the reference.
That's because Luke's screen name, Cran Breaking, is a Buffy the Vampire Slayer reference.
What?
Yes.
Is Cran, it really?
Yeah. Cran Breaking. Cran Breaking Willow.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
Look it up. So,
that's true.
Okay. Anyway, the chat is insulting my sport coat. Thank you.
So the point is, especially the Sprinter van. The other one was really cool too, and I was like, yeah, that's awesome. Until I saw this one, and then I said, so if I win the $300 million Mega Million
Can
lotto
we,
tonight,
Eric?
I'm buying this.
Winning.
Exactly.
So
Tiger
awesome.
Blood is extra.
This yes. is freaking sweet.
Yeah.
Room to move around without being obscenely large, like you get with one of those, you know, what are they, Class A
yeah.
motorhomes that are just gigantic.
Yep.
Awesome.
Sprinter vans are awesome.
Beats flying faux show. So, yeah. Great. Where did we find that article, Eric? Autoblog. Imagine that.
What do you know?
I haven't heard of them before.
Do you know?
You guys just juggernaut the internet, Zach.
I know.
Just everywhere. Get your tentacles.
I know.
Covering all the news.
Built
gotta save
on the
some for the rest of us.
Well, I don't know what you want me to tell you.
I don't know either.
We obsessively cover the auto industry, apparently.
It's in your name.
It is.
So, all right, guys, that'll do it for the news portion of the show. We got to take a quick break, but when we come back, we will dive into our blind spot story of the week, all about a woman who was caught smuggling drugs, yes, in her genitals. Plus, it's time for another installment of Roundabout Rear View, looking at an awesome video from 1940 about Ford service parts. No, it is not as boring as it sounds. And we'll also get to another electrifying edition of Auto Gadget. So stick around. It's all coming up right after this. But now I would like to talk about our latest sponsor here on Roundabout, Advance Auto Parts. If you visit our website, roundaboutshow.com.
I've heard of them.
Roundabout Show or Advance?
Roundaboutshow.com.
Yeah, well.
But tell me about this Advance person.
If you go to our website, roundaboutshow.com, you can do that right now. Charles, feel free.
Sure. Hey, you know, I noticed an Advance Auto Parts little button there.
Yeah, it's
Should
funny you
that?
Mentioned that. It is on the right-hand side of the page. If you click on that, you can save big, like top dollar, mucho dinero. Save some money, and a lot of money as well. We have a very special exclusive offer. You can only get this through our website. So make sure you go to roundaboutshow.com and click on the link in the sidebar.
In fact, this particular one that Craig's about to talk about expires on March 31st.
So you've got
so
until less than a week.
On it.
Less
jump
than a week
it.
To take That's advantage right. of this. And this is a freaking awesome
record.
Deal. I think I am going to go buy some motor, some Mobile One oil for the car and perhaps a couple filters. But anyway, special offer for this week, you can get $10 off an order of $30. You can get $20 off an order of $50, or $30 off an order of $100 or more. That's a savings of 0.3%. Can you be that is a lot of percents me.
That is a lot of percents you. I don't have the sound effect ready.
I know
so.
You didn't, Ben.
Sorry.
You've been falling flat, but. Anyway, very good deal. Zach, you should treat yourself. Get some parts for the International again.
I should. I actually, when I lived in Virginia, I shopped at Advance so often that they gave me a commercial account.
What does that tell you?
One of the nice features of Advance Auto Parts is you can actually order online and pick up on in-store. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to pay for shipping. Or orders over $75, every one of those, free shipping.
Awesome.
Isn't
awesome,
that amazing?
Awesome. Yeah, once more, this special exclusive offer, $10 off orders of $30 or more, $20 off orders exceeding $50, $30 off orders of $100 or more. Very good deal there.
So go to roundaboutshow.com. You have to click on the link.
Mm-hmm.
Look for the Advance Auto Parts logo, and there'll also be a little coupon code
yep.
there. But you have to click on our logo first before it'll take effect because it is exclusive to Roundabout.
Yes, and even if you're not looking for auto parts right now, I invite you to go to the website anyway, click on the link, just to show that you appreciate Advance's support of Roundabout.
Absolutely. You ought to do that. Now! Do it now!
Thank you, Advance Auto Parts. I always try to go there. There's one they just opened it maybe about a year and a half ago in downtown Romeo. Great staff, very friendly. They're never a line or anything.
You were telling me about...
There's 14 people in the town.
This is an ad, Eric.
Play along.
Now, you were telling me about they'll loan you a tool?
Yes, they have, they do. Now, this is not exclusive to Advance, but they do have a tool loaner program. Basically, if you're doing, you suppose you got to change the struts on your car or something, you don't have a spring compressor. You can go in, put some money down, take the spring compressor tool home with you, use it, take it back, get your money back. Just a, it's a tool loaner program, which is awesome. I actually took advantage of that when I lowered the Focus. So very handy to have, because a lot you may have, you know, a nice set of tools, but you'll be missing some expensive specialty item to do a particular job. And this is a great way to get that without having to spend any money. So tool loaner program, just one of the many benefits that Advance Auto Parts offers. And with that, it is time for our Blind Spot Story of the Week. When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. And this week, we've got a story about a heroine. Well, not actually a heroine, just plain heroine. We've got this article coming to us from, oddly enough, the UK, the Daily Mail Online. But this is just absurd. Charles is shaking his head in apparent disgust.
No comment.
No comment. A woman, 27 years old, Karen McCallinus of Scranton, Pennsylvania. Isn't that where Joe Biden is from? Alex, you're from the East.
I think he's from Scranton, yeah. He always talks about coming from Scranton, being a hard worker and blue collar, yada, yada, yada.
And sort of blue collar to the point of smuggling drugs, apparently. But this woman was allegedly had 54 bags of heroin, among other items, stored in her lower body purse, as it were.
Oh,
God.
You know, I want to know, how about allegedly?
You don't want to convict someone before.
I mean, I understand innocent until proven guilty, but if you got a count of 54 bags, you pull out of the maybe they came out.
It's funny. Pretty precise for allegedly.
Not allegedly, if some guy actually had to pull 54 bags up. Really, 54? You could make them even 60?
Well, that's not all she had up in there.
This is where the story gets good.
She had 54 bags of heroin, 31 empty baggies. Apparently, if she needed to make a sandwich, she'd have those handy. Plus $51.22 in cash.
And Charlie Sheen's wallet.
Ding, ding.
I don't even know what to say to this.
I want to know why, you know, this is from what you said, the UK papers, mm-hmm. fine UK papers.
Mm-hmm.
Why wasn't this covered like in USA Today?
It probably was.
This is a fine American story.
Yeah. She looks pretty cracked out in the booking photos there.
That's how everybody from Scranton, Pennsylvania looks.
She's, says the guy right now, from New Jersey.
Right now she's saying, oh, I can't believe I live in Scranton, Pennsylvania.
She's not even pissed about the arrest. It's just...
She's got like 100 bags worth of stuff inside her. She looks totally relaxed now.
I'm not even going to comment on this.
And when you read the story, it says one of the officers, when she was in the car, noticed this person fidgeting in the back seat of the car. Fidgeting.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Sure. I think I'd fidget, too.
Yeah, she was...
Yeah, that will happen.
I do understand that will happen.
She was... Well, what does the article say here? She was arraigned on March 14th and taken into custody after failing to come up with 10% of the $25,000 bail. A preliminary hearing is set for March 21st. Although, like you said, Alex, there's not much alleged about this incident.
What's the proof? We pulled 54 bags outside of it. Yeah, okay, all right, good enough. Let's take it back to the
other. You know, they should really use this story as an anti-drug campaign. Not because you should be worried about what drugs will do to your health. You should be worried about where those drugs have been.
Yes, exactly.
So let's think about that for half a second. No, I mean, you would have middle schoolers puking in the aisle if you brought this story.
All those middle school drug addicts, they're all pretty worried.
Make sure you clean your money before you put it, you touch with your hands. Every time you put a dollar bill in your mouth, like, it might have been.
How often you put a dollar bill in your mouth?
Yeah, you're like, you're a whole, like, I get some in your hands, I got a dollar, and you're like, just put it in your mouth, and you go, that was a bad move.
I'd say.
Yeah. Wash your hands, kids. So, Zach, you've made your peace on this one?
I'm not nearly intoxicated enough to be making jokes about this.
Get another glass of whatever it is you're drinking. We'll move on to the next segment. Get yourself a little liquored up here. You can comment.
Sally Ford.
All right. Next up, Ben. You know what time it is.
Oh, do I ever. Here we go.
When I go a motoring in my old jalopy, I think of all our picnics, those Joes show us sloppy.
Keep a straight face but here. More than this is anything, a serious song.
I can't
I'm
forget
at
you.
Not serious.
Here's another
expression.
Edition of Roundabout Rear View.
All right, so Zach, you have not been around for this new segment yet.
I have not.
You have not heard Ben's lovely singing?
Nope.
His Al Jolson impersonation?
Nope.
Thankfully.
Yes. So what we've got, Roundabout Rearview is a misty-eyed look at things from the past. We've got to take...
I'm tearing up right now.
You've got to take a moment to, you know, give our appreciation to history. So what we've got here is a lovely video. It's posted to YouTube. Awesome, awesome video. It's actually a cartoon that is advertising for Ford service parts back in 1940. And it'll put a smile on your face, you know?
It's very Warner Brothers.
It is. And it was, if you're playing the video, Ben, you can see if you're watching live. What was it, a Cartoon Films, Inc. production?
Limited. It's actually a general film production in Technicolor by Cartoon Films Limited. Yeah.
As I mentioned, the video is posted on YouTube, but we found it on the website FordBarn.com.
Great. Which is an awesome website.
Yes, it is. You frequent there, Zach? Or?
Yeah, Ford Barn and their associates, Garage Journal and Gear Journal and all those guys.
The Hamb.
Yeah, all really cool stuff. Yeah.
We'll never let you down. We're genuine Ford replacements. Inspected, tested,
so
and
it's a little
fly through
of a flathead V8. Oh, yeah. Zooming in on the personified valve
there.
Here.
Who are you? Who, me? I'm where? I'll wear you down.
The valve is talking to wear, to impact, to heat, to corrosion, all these forces envisioned as little gremlins attacking him, but he's a Ford part. He's invincible. Very charming, very clever article or video. Corrosion is spritzing something on the valve surface there.
Not smart, just a real Ford part.
Isn't that clever? So then the valve withstands the assault by those four elements, and they are jettisoned out the tailpipe, landing on the ground, tumbling on the ground, where they...
Just waiting to poison your water supply.
Exactly. They see another car go by, they get their hopes up, but then they're like, aw, it's another Ford V8.
Dang.
And then the video goes into a little bit more, some vintage footage that they shot of you know, actual dealership work and stuff, some parts counter, whatnot. It's basically an ad for genuine Ford parts. But very clever, put a smile on my face when I saw it. So, yeah. Any thoughts, anyone? Any other videos like this you guys have seen?
I just wish they made promo videos like this today. Yeah. That's all I can say.
Yeah, today it might be a little kitschy. But this works because it's so old, I think. But nothing else, guys? Aren't impressed with it as I am?
Video continues to translate very well.
This was the...
Who picked that one again?
Yes, exactly.
Well, we're driving people to our website, roundaboutshow.com. You go there, you hit the link in the show notes, you can check it out for yourself.
See how we do that? And maybe while you're there, you see, oh, what's this Advanced Auto Parts? It says click here, I better.
Because that's never led to trouble on the internet.
never.
Just needs to say free prawn.
Yeah. And actually, we got our sound effect for Highway Hearsay from a GM video, didn't we, Ben?
I think we did. Something like
the
that.
The news leader, or whatever it was. So, yeah.
The news marches on, it does.
Basically. So, feel-good story, Roundabout Rearview. Check it out, roundaboutshow.com. Next up, Eric, I believe you tagged this one. We've got another edition of Auto Gadget. What did you find here on Translogic? Another member of the AOL family of fine weblogs, I understand, Zach.
That's true. We are everywhere.
Like Savoir Faire.
Everywhere.
Watching people in the toilet.
So proof that...
That'd be you, Craig.
Proof that innovation in America...
My bad.
Got the GM Inside News tie in there. Brilliant.
Yeah. Brilliant. So this... Kid, this has been a project for a number of years. Kid in high school kind of drew it and designed it and was encouraged to develop it and through college and then I guess after college now he's developed it. It's essentially like it looks like a unicycled motorcycle, but it's also a bit like a Segway because it's got gyroscopes to balance. But the cool and it's electric powered. And like a Segway, you lean forward, you lean back, you can turn on it. And it's got two wheels so that it's stable in turning, and they're each independently suspended. And then the coolest part of this is that's great for operating in tight areas in an urban environment. But if you need to really take it out on the road, you just hit a button and Autobots transform. Mm-hmm. And this other wheel just comes out from in between. And goes out, and now you have an electric motorcycle with a top speed of, I believe, about 30 miles an hour.
I need the Transformers noise as a sound drop. Well, that's probably the old school one.
No, we don't, Ben.
No.
And there's a video that goes along with us that shows them riding really it around cool. in a parking lot and in a parking structure. And you see them riding it as the monowheel. Deal, which was
it's like a unicycle but less douchey.
Yes,
and is it?
are unicycles known for being douchey? I didn't really realize.
I think so. It's a little too hipster, especially these days. It'd be a little too hipster.
Okay, Eric, you're into bikes.
Yes,
Zach, you also like the motorcycles, the two wheel action.
That I do. Mm-hmm.
You're not a fan of this, though. Sound a little incredulous.
Yeah, you know what's wrong with a motorcycle? Not a goddamn thing. I mean, the video shows the guy riding it around in, like, an elevator, and I don't understand, you know? I mean, a motorcycle's great for getting around tight spaces. If you were in a space tight enough to need something with one wheel, you're in a space that you should not be in. I mean, you've somehow managed to find yourself cramped behind a dumpster
Tennessee is a good state, but it's not that densely populated. I understand New Jersey is the most densely populated state in the Union.
That it is. There's way too many people here.
We'll ship them off to upstate New York or something. But
we try.
That's all the people leaving New York that come to New Jersey.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
How would this fare in New Jersey? Would people just push it in front of a train if they saw it?
Bikes are a common problem. Every time I see someone with a bike, it's just a matter of time before they get seriously injured. Owning a bike in New Jersey is—it's not a matter of where, but once when. You're just going to get hit by somebody. I don't understand owning one. There's literally cars everywhere, no matter where you go. If you're going around town, parkway, highway,
sidewalk,
city,
doesn't matter.
Sidewalk—they're going to be there. They're coming right up on you. They're going to just. Run right over you, so, especially everybody here still drives right around this area. Everybody still SUVs. And there's still tons of Hummers around.
Well, are you not, saying New Jersey? Is it New Jerseyanite? New Jerseyans?
Jerseyoid.
I don't see anybody with Segways. The only time people see in Segways or any type of things like that would either be Segways are actually relegated to malls, mall police.
Yeah.
Paul Blart, and that's about it. I never see Segway actually on the road and driven around or go through parks. But, unless you're in a bike park or some motorcycles on the highway. Up in Northwest Jersey is not as densely populated, and South Jersey, more towards the tip.
The Pine Barrens?
South of Pine Barrens. Cape May down there. That's where I'm heading down there tomorrow. But
Hunting the Jersey Devil?
Area, yeah, Jersey Devil, yes, all down there. That's where you want to take your bike. You don't want to between, you know, in the middle section, anywhere around Jersey City, all the way down to, I don't know, probably another hour and a half. Anywhere from that in Atlantic City, you don't want to be anything on Chewy over there aren't protected by some sort of molly.
Would having only one wheel make that any safer? I mean,
Zach, if you do the math, it's 50% is safe, right?
Well, it's very true.
What do you think of the name when it's in this quote unquote unicycle mode? But they don't call it a unicycle; they call it a
Uno
dicycle.
Oh, dicycle,
dicycle. Mm.
What about a monocycle?
I think dicycle. Doesn't he still pitch for the Red Sox?
That's Daisuke Matsuzaka. Funny thing though is that this is in Boston.
There you go.
There's your tie-in.
Yeah. So this
awesome. You could definitely do that.
Yeah. Well, cool find, Eric. What can people do? Again, this is another video. Sorry, Zach, but
we engineered this episode for you, as you can tell.
Where can people find this, Eric?
Roundaboutshow.com.
Sounds like a good website.
Yep, very good website.
Don't mind if I do. All right, guys. Well, I think that'll just about do it for this week's show. It finishes off our news segment and our regular segments. So, Eric Tritko,
yes.
RumbleStrip.net, RumbleStrip on Twitter.
Yes.
Always a pleasure having you live in studio.
Great to be here, as always. I also want to remind everyone that I am participating in the Multiple Sclerosis Walk on May 7th in Detroit, downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Starts at Tiger Stadium and goes through Greektown and some of the other very nice neighborhoods in Detroit.
There are
nice
neighborhoods in Detroit?
Yes. Believe it or not, Detroit's getting better and better every day. If you'd like to donate, I'm trying to raise at least $500. That's my minimum goal, and if I'd reach that, I would like to raise more than that. If you'd like to donate to the cause, you can go to bit.ly/DETMSWalk.
And we'll have the link again.
Yeah, link will be in the show notes. And I've just a little over halfway to raising my goal with 43 days left. So, like I said, I'm hoping to get
$500
over $500
for a great
raised.
Cause.
Yes.
This supports research for multiple sclerosis,
I'm
assuming. How close are they? How are they doing on that?
Very good. There's some really exciting new drugs that are on the market and coming on market and going through testing. In fact, my girlfriend Catherine has been participating in a study, and she was on the
trial. Whatever.
She didn't get the trial drug. She got the current drug, but she's coming to the end of the trial, and they're going to offer her the trial drug at the end of this, which will be in 5 months. We're really excited about that because she will no longer have to do 3 shots a week.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Yes.
Again, that's bit.ly/DETMSWalk.
Yeah, DETMSWalk.
Yep. And as of this recording, he's at 55%. So
let's help push him over the top. I donated.
Yep.
You should too.
Ben has donated.
Stephen Ewing
donated. Yep.
Yep. Very good. Well, thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
Always glad you could make it. Charles Chrome, our resident Autotropolosaurus this week.
I had to fill in for Mr. Ross. I hope I was up to the
you always have to have an Autotropolis representative.
My pleasure as always, gentlemen. Yeah.
So what are you working on? Anything exciting? I noticed you're driving a Kia.
Well, that is my my personal forte.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. But, I'm between. I had the Avalon for a while. It was a nice ride.
Yeah. If you don't have sporting.
Exactly.
It's got
exactly.
A nice car. Quiet, comfortable. Yeah. So you're going to have a review on that done shortly?
Shortly. Although that might show up on autosavant.com.
Oh, you moonlight over there, too.
I do, to some extent, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So two sites we can find you, autotropolis.com, autosavant.com.
Yes.
But either way, Charles Chrome, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Filling out the roundabout this week. Alex Villani, Mr. GM Inside News, hailing from New Jersey, no less.
Yes, sir.
We are glad you could make it. Roundabout first timer. Great job, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what's going on in the news this week? Anything? Well, what do you do at GMI exactly?
I am the Northeast contributor / editor. We are a small but rambunctious group of guys. It's me and Nick Saparito in Kansas. We're the two main guys here in North America. Mark Bono is another guy we have down in D.C. We have guys out in Australia. We have three guys to cover our Australian friends, since Holden is such a big part now of General Motors. We're working on a couple things. I got done with the Volt last week, so I should hopefully have a review, some videos up by sometime this weekend. Right now I have the Camaro convertible and just in time for more snow and rain here in New Jersey.
Of course.
Perfect time.
Sounds like Michigan.
Yeah, you know, I last week we got an 80-degree day, and all weekend we had I'm part of the local Camaro Firebirds. That's my true passion.
You've got an F-body or something?
I do. I have my own little project. I have an 87 G28 with an LS1 V8 in there, a little modified head scan stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, I had a chance to bring the Bolt out to one of the meets this past Sunday. It's funny to see a lot of F-body guys crawl around and ask them any one question. They're pretty good with it. You know, obviously they made a couple of, jokes like, oh, we need to plug it in. How are you going to get it home? Do you turn the dome lights on? Does everything dim? And,
does the turn signal light?
I'm driving in.
EV.
Yeah, so it's, they always get the joke, but they don't do it out of ignorance. They do it out of crack jokes. But the Camaro convertible this week has been cool. Every time the sun is up and the clouds are gone, I try to drop the top 45-degree weather.
You got
to
do it. You got to do it. It sounds like New Jersey's a lot like Michigan. You know, we had a nice 70-degree day about a week ago, and then God took a dump on us. So it's in the 30s right now. But,
barely.
Thanks for joining us, GMInsideNews.com. Giant forum you guys have there, too.
That we are. That's our bread and butter. Those are all our guys, all our readers, guys and girls. We appreciate everything. Without them, you know, we would be nothing.
Yeah. And we appreciate you coming on the show, Alex. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Mr. Zach Bowman, back in Zach.
Mr. Craig Cole.
we're glad you came back. We were able to coax you.
Hey, glad to.
The
glad
jerky,
to be back.
Beef jerky's in the mail.
Awesome.
Autoblog.com.
Yep, that's me.
What are you working on?
I've heard of it.
You working on anything besides everything?
Let's see. I've got the Volt in the garage right now. I should have a review of that up fairly soon. I'm going to be driving the new Passat next week. It gets better, buddy. The Prius 5 after that, or Prius V or whatever the hell they call it.
Well, we'll tell Steve and Ewing to get you some better stuff, all right?
Well, supposedly I'm going to be rocking a Countryman here pretty soon, so I'll have to rummage up something pretty entertaining to
do. We'll tell Steve and Ewing to get you some better stuff.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. But, this is payback for having, like a Jag XJR for like 3 weeks or something like that.
All right, let's be fair here. Add an XF and then something mediocre and then an XKR and then something mediocre and then an XKR. So I had a pretty good run there for a while, so I can't really complain. And the Volt's pretty awesome, I mean, in its own way.
Definitely, definitely. But the loyal listeners can check out your work, your prolific works, at autoblog.com.
That's
most
it?
Days of the week.
Nearly everyone, unless I'm gallivanting around the country.
All right. Well, thank you, Zach. Always a pleasure having you on. And, of course, Ben Sanders, the Colonel Sanders, the Colonel Slanders.
I have to say, Zach didn't have me working too hard this week with the bleep button.
Wait, there's he's still been, time.
He's, no, that's a good point.
He's been drinking. What are you imbibing, Zach?
Your poison. Well, that's a buddy of mine brought this down and blew.
special home brew.
It is. It's apple pie shine.
Oh,
which is pretty,
I love
pretty
that
fantastic.
Stuff. That is really good. That's good stuff.
I don't usually do hard liquor. I typically prefer beer. Mm-hmm. But
as long as you're on the show tonight, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Needed something to get you through it.
My logic exactly.
Well, Ben, thank you for getting the technical side things
I do
taken
what I can,
care of,
Craig.
And for editing the podcast on the weekend.
Yep.
Your time is greatly appreciated.
Well, that's sweet.
Of course, you can check out Roundabout Live every Friday evening starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, about 3:30 on the West Coast if you're out there. And don't forget to check out the rest of the Autoline family of fine programs, including Autoline Detroit, Autoline After Hours, and, of course, Autoline Daily on our website, autolinedetroit.tv, TV as in television. Check it out. And will somebody please leave us a message? We've got a Google Voice number. Drop us a line, 1-559-ROAB-411. That's 1-559-762-2411. Also, if you're swinging by our website, checking out the Advanced Auto Parts link, I encourage you to also visit the Roundabout Emporium. We've got all
buy
kinds
stuff now.
Yes, Eric, you can buy stuff right now. We've got hats, stickers, mugs, beer steins, you name it. All kinds of great stuff on the Roundabout Emporium. If you're looking, if you find the advanced link, you'll see the Roundabout Emporium button is right on the right-hand sidebar as well. So click on that. All kinds of great stuff to get there. We are on Twitter. Just go to twitter.com/roundaboutshow. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/roundaboutshow.
Give us a like.
Yes. Give us a like. We do appreciate it. And if you never want to miss an action-packed episode, and frankly, who doesn't? Zach, you probably subscribe to this. I would hope you do at least.
Pretend.
You can do it on iTunes or the Zune Marketplace if you like that instead.
Or YouTube.
Or Stitcher.
Now we're doing the YouTube thing.
Yeah, oh, the video version of...
Well, no, that's Ustream, so you can watch us live.
But you're putting the video on YouTube.
You put the recorded video on YouTube now. So if you're a YouTube fan, go to youtube.com/AutolineDetroit. Subscribe.
Subscribe early. Subscribe often. We do appreciate it. And with that, thanks to all of you out there listening. Please join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We'll talk to you then. That's a show. Look at that, Zach, right there.
Stunned and amazed.
1 hour, 11 minutes.
Blows my f***ing mind. You guys are like a well-oiled machine. Craig's all snappy with the stories now. You're busting through them.
It's the jacket.
I was going to say, it's the sport jacket.
Little pocket square here.
Hey, it's the jacket.
My jacket is off, and so are my hosting abilities.
And his pants.